host has spent decades studying the Bible in the original languages. He holds degrees from the University of Wisconsin, Moody Bible Institute, Asbury Theological Seminary, and Bethel Theological Seminary. With the help of some of his friends, in 1994, Dr. Rako founded a national volunteer ministry to hunters. He is an author, dog trainer, and speaker. Tom served as a full-time pastor for 36 years. Now here is your host, Dr. Tom Rako.
Thanks for joining us here on the Rock Dove Publications Quill. During today's program, we'll be seeing that things are not always as they appear. I'll also be sharing from my book, Devotions for Hunters and Anglers, an entry titled Lucky. I hope that you enjoy today's program. Do you know that things are not always as they appear? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 7 says, "One person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, yet has great wealth." And we see that around us. Sometimes people, especially cons, try to make everybody think that they're successful, that they're wealthy, etc. Well, things are not always as they appear. I've known people that appeared to be very impoverished, but in reality, they had great wealth, but you'd never known that. You know, one fall, I was turkey hunting with my longbow in South Dakota, and I watched as a group of turkeys worked their way past some cattle. And when they went behind a patch of trees, I rushed ahead in hopes of launching an arrow when they came out the other side. And peering through some tall brown grass, I saw what appeared to be the back of a number of turkeys. I thought to myself, they must have been moving faster than I figured. Getting down on my knees, I moved quickly in order to cut the distance between my bow and the feeding birds. However, I hadn't gone far before discovering my turkey backs were actually piles of Hereford cattle manure. And just in case you're wondering, I chose not to shoot. The fact is, things are not always as they appear. For example, in the Garden of Eden, the serpent led Eve to believe that eating the forbidden fruit was something desirable to do. The Bible tells us, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it." Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. What appeared to be personally beneficial was actually profoundly detrimental. From this point, sin entered the world. Later on in the book of Genesis, Abram, who was a herdsman, generously offered his nephew Lot his pick of the land. We are told, "Lot looked up and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt toward Zoar." Genesis 13:10a. Lot chose this lush area. And for decades, it would have seemed that Abram was the one who lost out because he had graciously deferred to Lot. Nevertheless, what appeared to be the right choice for Lot eventually resulted in his ruin. Indeed, Genesis 13:10 goes on to explain, "This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." Lot not only lost his wife and his wealth, but eventually his reputation as well. He went from being a leader at the city gate, Genesis 19:1, to living with his two daughters in a cave, Genesis 19:30. Yes, sometimes what may seem like a logical choice for one's career may not be the best choice for an individual or even a family. Things are not always as they appear. Friend, we also need to remember that living for the Lord Jesus Christ in this time period may not always appear to be the most reasonable or profitable thing to do. Nevertheless, it is always the right thing. And so today, maybe you're being tempted. Maybe something looks very good on the outside, and it looks like that will fulfill your needs or get you to where you want to be or fulfill your dreams. But friend, let's make sure it's in the will of God, because things are not always as they appear. Let's look to Him. Let's trust Him. He sees the future. He knows what will ultimately come about, and we can trust him. We'll be back right after this.
The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guard Rail. If you have a desire to one day own a classy American-bred English pointer, the Quilted Arrow periodically has puppies available. Contact the Quilted Arrow to find out more. Or perhaps you already have a young pointer that needs help in becoming all they were meant to be. With a little investment, you can become your hunting partner's favorite trainer. There is a limited opportunity for hands-on coaching, but no worries. You can also schedule some personal FaceTime coaching. Again, if you have a strong interest in one day owning an American-bred English pointer, or want to take the next step in helping your bird dog be all that they were created to be, visit the Rockdove Publications website at rockdove.com. Don't delay. Visit rockdove.com today.
This is from a book I wrote a number of years ago titled Devotions for Hunters and Anglers, and it's titled Lucky. A number of years ago, I was fishing with my wife and four young daughters alongside a little lake a couple miles from home. It was a beautiful June afternoon, and the kids were keeping me busy either putting on night crawlers, taking off fish, reeling in lines, or casting them back out. I didn't even attempt to fish myself, that is, until my wife decided it was time to take our youngest daughter back home. I was going to use her pole until one of my daughters protested, "I want to use Mom's big pole." "Fine," I said. "I'll just use your little Snoopy pole," a short kid's pole with a Snoopy sticker. Minutes later, I landed a 6.5-pound largemouth bass. The fish was almost as long as the little Snoopy pole itself. Suddenly, everyone wanted to use the lucky Snoopy pole. In their young minds, this explanation for Dad suddenly catching this lunker had to do with the particular pole he was using. Now, we all know that superstition or belief in lucky objects is not just confined to children. Even many adults carry their lucky charms or go through some religious ritual in hopes of controlling the future. Indeed, we humans have a tendency to chalk up good fortune and sometimes even bad fortune to a particular object, arrangement of objects, or some habitual behavior. In fact, today there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses and websites that either cater to or capitalize upon this concept we call good luck. But such behavior or belief systems are not new with our culture. Attempts to obtain some sort of a good luck or favorable outcome can actually be traced back thousands of years. We know that on certain occasions, people in Bible times were prone to begin admiring, honoring, or even worshiping things that God had used to accomplish the miraculous. We could certainly point to an ephod made by Gideon in Judges chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. It was a type of religious garb, or a sacred chest called the Ark of the Covenant in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. Nevertheless, one of the clearest examples found in Scripture would have to be the bronze serpent. In the book of Numbers, we're told that the children of Israel sinned and began speaking against God and his servant Moses. We're told, "The Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died." Numbers chapter 21, verse 6. As a result, they cried out to Moses and asked him to pray on their behalf that the Lord would take the snakes away. Instead of taking the snakes away, the Lord instructed Moses to make a serpent out of bronze. The Lord promised when anyone was bitten, if they looked at the bronze serpent, they would live. When the Israelites did this, they found the Lord's promise to be true. However, as the years passed, something strange happened. Instead of honoring God, the Hebrew people began honoring and worshiping the bronze snake that the Lord had used to accomplish this miracle. We are told that King Hezekiah broke into pieces the bronze snake Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been burning incense to it. It was called Nehushtan, 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 4. In a similar fashion, we Christians can also become more enamored with the things the Lord has used in our lives rather than the Lord Himself. For example, God may have used a particular hymn, ministry, or preacher to accomplish something great in our life. Yet, we can become so focused upon this event or experience of the past that we fail to see God at work in the present. As a result, we start to think God must use only a particular style of music, a specific kind of ministry, or a certain type of preaching. But God is not limited to always using the same things to accomplish His work. Let's not depend upon luck. Let's depend upon the Lord. When we come back, I'll have some closing remarks.
Dr. Tom Rako has pulled together 60 hunting and angling devotionals. Every entry has a selected Bible passage to read and a story or personal experience tied into the scriptural point. Some of the titles for entries found in devotions for hunters and anglers include Buck Fever, The Antlered Doe, Catfish Corner, Barnyard Buck, Rabbit Hunt Romance, The Prodigal Pooch, A Case of Pheasant Forensics, Once in a Lifetime Moose Hunt, and Grin and Bear It. You don't have to hunt or fish to enjoy this book. It's a great read for anyone, young or old. To order your copy of Devotions for Hunters and Anglers by Dr. Tom Rako, go to the Rockdove Publications website, rockdove.com. Visit rockdove.com today.
How about you? Do you sometimes depend upon luck or perhaps repeating some ritual? I think of the baseball player that maybe steps up to the plate, hits his cleats with the baseball bat a couple of times, tips his hat, swings a certain way, somehow thinking he's going to replicate something. Well, we can become very superstitious when it comes to the things of God, but what's really important is that we spend time in the Word of God, and we spend time talking to God, and we spend time with the people of God. You know, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is a compass, and it will not steer us wrong. If you've ever been in the wilderness, and I have, I remember, especially on one occasion, I was convinced that my compass was wrong, but I knew that we humans were prone to doubt the compass, and I had two compasses. And guess what? They both said I was wrong. Well, God's Word will direct us, and we don't have to depend upon luck. We can depend upon what God has promised and what He will do. Well, thanks so much for joining us here on the Rockdove Publications Quill. I hope that you'll join us again next time.
Been listening to the Rock Dove Publications podcast with your host, Dr. Tom Rako. This program has also been brought to you by The Quilted Arrow, home of intelligent, stylish, field-bred English pointers with bloodline streams from Hall of Fame champion Guardrail. Thank you so much for listening. Now this is Beth Rako inviting you to join us again next time on the Rock Dove Publications podcast.